knock on our door.
Knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Where the kisses are hers and hers and his. Three's company too. Come and dance on our floor.
Thank you for knocking on our door and welcome to the Regal Beagle Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the much-loved television sitcom Three's Company. Here we review and discuss each and every Three's Company episode covering all 8 seasons in chronological order. My name is Danko, and joining me today, returning to the podcast, is my cousin Cameron. Cameron, how are you doing today?
I'm great.
So last week,
yeah,
you liked the show and I hated it.
I liked parts of the show.
Okay, you liked more parts than usual.
Yes. Still didn't like the show, but liked more parts of the show than usual. Right.
I hated all of the show. I hated the whole episode of, what was it last week? Babysitters.
The Babysitters, yeah.
But this week, it's a season 2, episode 18,
yeah.
Home Movies. It aired January 24th, 1978, directed by Bill Hoban, written by Don Nickle, Michael Ross, Bernie West. Bill Hoban is back in the director's chair. Maybe he was sick the week before.
Okay.
Chrissy gets a movie camera from her parents and screens her home movies. Larry wants to borrow the rented film projector to watch porn. What did you think of Home Movies?
I'm sensing that you love this episode.
I love this episode.
Oh my God, no.
I love it. Well, okay, wait a minute. Compared to last week, I love it. But I liked it. I really like Home Movies. Now, once again, with all these episodes, you got to take it in context. We live in a world of internet porn. We live in a world where pornography is so accessible.
Oh yeah, I mean they're using a film projector for God's sake.
Right, and you know, a naked woman or a man and a woman having sex or any sort of copulation.
But was it common practice for like guys to consume that sort of media in groups?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because back then you could only watch it in with a film projector. I mean, not everyone had a film projector, right? It wasn't like as accessible as eventually VHS and home porn. Like that was the beginning of the closing down of porno theaters, you know. And bringing it home. And now, of course, we have the easy accessibility through the internet. So it's a different world. So what I really loved about Home Movies and watching it, I haven't seen it in a long time, was I don't think I've seen Home Movies since the explosion of, you know, the digital age. Maybe I have. Okay, I have a couple of times. But since the real explosion of the digital age and stuff with pornography.
Yeah.
I haven't seen this episode, so it was really kind of like traveling back in time to see how people thought about porn. They didn't even call it pornography. They called it blue movies, which I think they do in the episode.
Yes, they do.
And the way they were all going to watch it together, because basically I don't think Mr. Roper and Jack had seen a blue movie or a sex movie or whatever they called it.
Okay.
So they're all going to gather around. It was more of a spectacle than to get their rocks off.
Right. Okay. Fair.
So that's what I loved about it. But I will admit that it takes 15 minutes for this episode to wrap up because it's really slow.
I appreciated the build up to that final scene.
Yeah.
Like in all of the elements that took us to that spot.
That's what it was, basically. Yeah.
But I was just like, why is it so disjointed and like cumbersome to get here? And I think the biggest takeaway for me from this was that I was like, I mean, I'm still sort of in the camp, but I was a little like something's throwing a wrench into my, you know, Mr. Roper is a closeted homosexual. Right.
That was another thing I wanted to address with you.
You know what I mean? Like Mrs. Roper finds his Playboys and then he's like, oh, I just read them for the articles. And then I'm thinking to myself, well, okay, maybe he really does just read them for the articles. Because why would she be so cool with him just like stashing nudie mags all over the house? And then he goes out, buys some more, doesn't even try to hide it. He looks ridiculous in the raincoat with the nudie mags
but
hanging out.
But that's how people did it.
That he keeps on for, like, that he keeps on for multiple scenes. He goes upstairs to fix the window with nudie mags in his pocket.
Okay.
Like, is he just projecting now? Like, I read nudie mags.
No, no.
Look, everybody.
No,
right?
No, no.
So, okay, there was that. But then what I think really, like, is starting to throw a wrench into all of it is, like, when he was that eager to watch the Blue movie.
Yeah.
Is he just trying to show? But interestingly, what I noticed is that Mr. Roper didn't say anything or didn't bat an eye at Jack being interested in watching the Blue movie.
Oh my God, you're right.
He didn't care, which would have been a surprise to me, like that they wouldn't throw a line in where it's like, why do you want to see this? Or what's in this for you? Or something like that. Like, well, they'll show him making, you know, some ridiculous face and flapping his wings like a fairy, but they won't like even address that. That was a little weird to
me. Okay, I will say this. The idea of, in 1978, putting a porno movie in an episode of a television show, I think, was really risque. So just that alone, I think your observation was an oversight on their part that they didn't address the fact that Mr. Roper might have a problem with watching a porno with Jack because he's a homophobe, because Mr. Roper is a homophobe. So there might be that. The reason being that just the dropping of a porno movie as a device in the episode was such a big deal back then. It overrode what they usually would have addressed.
Yeah, I mean, that's not to say they didn't address it in the episode. Like when Jack's got the makeup on.
Right, and they did it early on. Sure.
They always make a point.
They haven't forgotten.
They haven't forgotten it. No. But in this moment where you think they would, like, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah. That's a good point. I never even thought of it myself because I too was like trying to put myself in the time and go, yeah, you know what? Look, it's a reflection of how people viewed it as well, right? They're not going to watch a TV show in 1978 about these three guys wanting to watch a movie if they can watch it easily too.
Yeah.
So the audience in 78 were right alongside with Larry and who returns to the show. We have to make a mention of that.
Say about Larry.
It's his second appearance. Awesome.
That's his second ever?
Second ever.
So I saw the first ever and the second ever.
Yeah.
And I remember you telling me when we first saw him that he was one of your favorite characters.
He's going to come in and he's going to knock your socks off.
Because he was in this, he was just very sort of beige.
No, but he comes in with a porno.
Yeah,
that's
but
pretty wild.
Okay.
And so watching three guys get all giddy about a porno movie in 1978, you have to assume that the audience too would have a reaction to bringing a porno home and watching it. They would be excited. They would be disgusted. There would be an extreme reaction, more extreme than today. Today it's so commonplace. Almost people just like roll their eyes.
Yeah.
You know, so I think about it that way and I go, wow, this is a heavy episode, I think.
Okay. I mean, there are definitely things I appreciated about the episode.
And Mrs. Roper's about to say, go fuck yourself to Mr. Roper. I don't know if you caught that. She goes, oh, go fix your windows.
I didn't.
Yeah. Which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah. Cause she was quite miffed the whole episode too.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I wrote down a line here that I really liked too when this classic, and I guess I had the most humor that I've gotten, like that I've, you know, sort of extracted from this show comes from the miscommunication between all of them and the lack of information that everybody has, right? So when Roper's up there, the Ropers are up there, everybody, they're ready to watch this movie and like we're ready, you know, like Jack and Larry can't, you know, distract them, right? I mean, they didn't really try, but they don't, you know, they can't distract them and they're about to hit play. And then somebody goes, of course she's interested. She's in it. And then Roper's freaking out thinking that the girls are in it. And then you're just like, this is going to be great. And then Woody Woodpecker comes on.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Woodpecker.
Yeah. I mean, it was.
Pecker.
I appreciated that.
Yeah. So there's all kinds of things happening that.
Yeah.
You know, I think they were trying to get away with. I will say this. You made a mention of like, come on. he's stashing magazines all over, porno magazines all over the house. Like, what, you know, he's just trying to like overcompensate.
Yeah.
But yeah. My dad never did that. But I had friends whose fathers had huge stacks of porno mags hidden all over the house. And so when no one was home, we'd go and raid the stacks. So
this was like a, this was a thing.
It was a thing. And so it made perfect sense to me that Roper would do that. Cause I grew up going to people's houses where they had stacks.
Wow.
And I love how they took Playboy and Penthouse and made Playhouse.
Playhouse. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It wasn't brilliant, but it was a chuckle.
Somebody thought about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, someone thought about it. So, yeah, so there it is. I mean, oh, and then at the end of the episode,
yeah,
there's the scene where Mr. Roper is posing for Chrissy because now
with
Chrissy
the plunger.
Is moved on from film and home movies. She's dating an artist.
Yeah.
So she wants to kind of connect with her date and become like art. And she draws a plunger, you know, that Mr. Roper is holding.
Right.
That plunger, if we were to take it at face value, that plunger was very well drawn. Chrissy, we find out, is a very good artist.
Yeah.
And that's how the episode ends. And they never brought it up again. That plunger she drew was amazing.
But I would argue that, I mean, of all the things to draw, a plunger probably is one of the more basic things, right?
But man, she did it really well. Really lifelike.
It was, I don't
did
know.
Did you see it? You should take another look at the plunger at the end of the episode. If we're to take it, you know, at just as it is, right? At face value, what okay. we're seeing is what they are.
Yeah.
Chrissy in the show is an incredible artist.
Wow. I mean, if these are the takeaways from the episodes.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know. What,
it's a
I mean,
small
how much,
point.
What else I can say about this show? I mean,
we never get to see Naked Dreams, the name of the porno movie.
No,
right?
We don't.
Naked Dreams is a good title, though. I love it. And yeah, Chrissy's a great artist. So there you go.
I noticed too, which is a lot different from the beginning episodes that I saw, that Jack and the girls are a lot more physical, to a point where like
yeah.
like more forward with yeah. them and like
joking around, but
yeah,
more forward,
but joking yeah. around, but like, would he say no if they sort of like opened up to his advances? Yeah. I don't know. Probably not. No, right.
Probably not. But yeah.
And then especially Janet, who I felt in the first little while was like, you know, more of the girl that, you know, he's just not that into. He's more into Chrissy. Now he's throwing himself at her and she's like rejecting his advances. Right. So I was just kind of like scratching my head, like, what's the dynamic? How has that changed at all?
There, I think you're correct when you've noticed and sensed that they are getting more comfortable with each other, even on the set. I think even behind the
True.
Scenes,
yeah, I guess
to
that speaks to that
incorporate
too.
That in the episode itself. I think they were all just getting more comfortable with each other.
Okay,
so Jack could do that.
But
so
there's
Janet.
No underlying things that I'm missing there.
I can't tell you, okay. right? I can't. I already told you something off the mic that I shouldn't have about the show.
Yeah.
But that whatever I told you off the mic, yes and no to what I said.
Okay. but I will say, as convoluted as it is in this episode anyways, like with the storylines tying together, because there always seems to be a storyline with the kids, which is the A storyline, and then a B storyline with the Ropers. Mm-hmm. Like, some of the episodes that I saw in the past, like, they weren't even related. Like, at one point, Roper was in Florida getting arrested for soliciting a prostitute, which had absolutely nothing to do with what was happening in L.A. And I'm just sitting there scratching my head. But now, like, you know, Roper's got dirty mags. There's a dirty movie. Like, yeah. there's a bit more thought, yeah. I think. And people are just like, oh, let's just not write words on a page for these people to read and hope people laugh. Like, yeah. let's try and, you know... create situations that they did, I think, successfully create. And I was quite surprised because the way it was going with the makeup and they're recording these, I'm like, where is this episode going? And I was like, so ready to hate all of it.
Well, yeah, no, it was a long ramp up.
But then that scene, those moments in, you know, a TV and film, like when you feel just as stressed as everybody in that room.
Oh,
I appreciate yeah, that.
I
a
loved
lot.
It. That was also why I loved it. I love the incorporation of the porno in the show. I thought that was hilarious. At the top of the show, I will make this last mention. Jack throws an Ice Age thing. An Ice Age fact. So in 78, he said, did you know that the ice caps are melting half an inch a year? Yeah. This is in 78, man. And they just made a joke about it. Now we're in 2017.
And it's, I mean, we're already fucked.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy.